Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
After a weekend of rumours and speculation, it is official. Rishi Sunak will become the UK's third Prime Minister in 7 weeks. He was elected Tory leader this time without making any public speeches or giving any interviews. But in a short televised statement in the last hour, he paid tribute to Liz Truss and promised to serve with integrity and humility. In a moment, we'll get reaction from the opposition front bench. But first, Barry Lennon is at Westminster and has been getting reaction from Tory MP and former Northern Ireland Secretary Teresa Villiers.
I really welcome this result. I back Rishi in the first leadership contest and this one because I think he's the right person to get us through these very difficult economic times and get a grip on inflation, which is so crucial to helping people with their household bills.
Have you any sense of what his plans are, any sense of what his cabinet might be?
He has been very clear that he wants to bring the party back together, to unite it, and that means ensuring that people are represented from right across the spectrum of views and opinions and traditions in the Conservative Party, that they're all represented in his government and at his top table in the cabinet.
So he'll take an inclusive approach. And looking towards that next election, you really believe that Rishi Sunak is the man perhaps to lead the Conservatives back to another victory? The last 7 weeks have been also damaging.
The last 7 weeks have been deeply damaging. Clearly our poll rating has deteriorated massively, but Rishi is the best of us who has the chance to get us back in contention at that general election. And yes, I think he's got a good chance of winning it for us, but that does depend on all of my colleagues uniting and getting behind him, because if we continue to be a divided party, we will not win that election.
Any insight as to what his intentions might be when it comes to the Northern Ireland Protocol and indeed his relationship with Dublin?
For obvious reasons, discuss these things with him in depth, and he is very committed to continuing this current negotiation process, but also at the same time also very committed to taking the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill through Parliament. So it's essentially a twin-track approach, but I know that he knows how important it is to resolve this matter in a way which is fair to everyone, which addresses the concerns felt about the protocol in Northern Ireland, but also make sure that the EU and its single market is respected.
He is said to have perhaps be aligned with the ERG on this issue, or at least given them some assurances that he'd be of the one mind with them going forward. Can you shed any light on that?
In his many hustings appearances during the summer, he was very clear that he recognised that the Northern Ireland Protocol was not working as it is, that it needed to be sorted out, and that therefore he would continue to take the bill through Parliament, but also he would be seeking a negotiated solution. So he does have a lot in common with the views of ERG colleagues on this, but also with views felt across the parliamentary party.
Fresh storm at elections could be called on Friday. In your view, would it be best perhaps for the likes of Chris Heaton Harris or Steve Baker to remain in their positions, given the obvious instability in Northern Ireland as well?
Well, I hugely admire both Steve and Chris. They're both long-standing friends of mine, so I can see that there would be many advantages in keeping them in post. But those decisions are way above my pay grade. We'll have to see what announcements are made in the next few days.
And that was Teresa Villiers speaking this afternoon to Barry Lenehan in Westminster. We'll speak to Stephen Doughty of the British Labour Party in just a moment. But first, we're going to get some quick reaction from John Rentoul from the London Independent. And you're welcome, John, to the programme. I was listening to two commentators immediately after Rishi Sunak made his TV address an hour ago. And one said, well, he's not an entertainer. And the other replied, he could loosen up a bit. What did you make of it? Do you agree with that?
Well, it's extraordinary because he's gone underground for weeks and weeks since the end of the Conservative, the previous Conservative leadership election. He's just disappeared from public view as Liz Truss's government collapsed and hasn't said anything at all. I mean, because people have been expecting him to pop up and say, you know, I told you so. But that's not the most persuasive slogan in persuading his colleagues to back him. So obviously he decided to keep quiet. And I would say he's a little bit rusty on the old communication skills. Mm. He didn't even know how to speak convincingly to a camera.
of course, everybody's looking at him now with a lot more attention, perhaps, than they would have been in the last couple of weeks. And during the summer, when he was running for the Tory leadership, the following clip emerged. Now, this was during the summer of him addressing Conservative Party members in a wealthy constituency, and he was talking about his record as Chancellor. Let's take a listen.
I managed to start changing the funding formulas to make sure that areas like this are getting the funding that they deserve. Because we inherited a bunch of formulas from the Labour Party that shoved all the funding into deprived urban areas. That needed to be undone. I started the work of undoing that.
That clip is doing the rounds again, John, him talking about he's undoing the work of shoving all the funding into deprived urban areas. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a very embarrassing clip for him. I mean, he's not supposed to be so explicitly partisan about the allocation of government funding. I mean, everybody knows that both parties do try to skew it in favour of their own constituencies, but they're not supposed to say so in public. So he does have to live down that kind of embarrassment. The watchdogs will be on his case to make sure that he doesn't cross those lines.
Yeah, I know you're saying it's an embarrassing clip, but I wonder, does it speak to who he is and what he thinks? You know, I've seen word clouds circulating online today about what people think of Rishi Sunak, and in a Freudian slip, I almost said Richie Sunak, because the biggest word that came out of those word clouds was rich. That's people's impression of him.
Yes, no, but I mean, that cuts both ways. I mean, for some of his supporters, it means he's incorruptible and he's successful and clever and all the rest of it. I mean, I don't obviously in that embarrassing clip, he was speaking to a particular audience who felt that they weren't getting a fair share of central government funding. And he was trying to win their votes in the leadership election. So, but he went too far. He shouldn't have said it. I don't think it says anything specifically about his politics. To be honest, except that he can be a partisan Tory.
And just finally, then we heard Theresa Villiers saying there, if we continue to be divided, we won't win the election. Do you think he is the figure to unite the party?
Well, no, not really. But I mean, I think. I wouldn't put it like that. I think he's the figure to divide the party least. If you see what I mean, I think Boris Johnson or Penny Morden would have been more divisive.
Okay. John Rentoul from the London Independent, thank you very much for joining us. Now, Stephen Doughty is the British Labour Party's Shadow Europe Minister, and he's in Cavan today for the British-Irish Parliamentary Assembly. He joins us on the line, and you're very welcome, Stephen Doughty, to the programme.
Good evening.
Rishi Sunak is going to try to draw a line under the chaos and uncertainty of the last couple of months. That's something to be welcomed, surely.
Well, the impact of the chaos has been very significant on the British people over the last few weeks and months, in terms of their pockets, in terms of the value of the pound, in terms of their pensions, and in terms of a complete failure of the Conservatives to get a grip on the cost of living crisis that's affecting everybody. So, quite frankly, a lot of the damage has already been done. And, they've now crowned him as Prime Minister without him saying a single word about how he'd run the country. And, of course, without anybody having a chance to vote, which is an extraordinary situation. And that's why we've been very, very clear. We think there needs to be a general election. He's got no mandate. We don't understand what he even wants to do. And his party are continuing to knock chunks out of each other.
Yeah, and I have heard that argument from Labour that he has no mandate. But Conservatives, of course, would say that the system as it's set up allows a majority of MPs to change the Prime Minister whenever they like, and that's what they've done.
Well, but we've had three prime ministers in 3 months and, multiple chancellors and multiple other ministerial changes. And the reality actually is that the government has ground to a halt in the UK. Decisions haven't been taken. Investment is being scared away. And you have a Conservative Party that's riven down the middle and spending more time and worrying about themselves. I thought it was very revealing what he said in his, pretty wooden speech that he gave just a few hours ago, where, again, he's talking about the party and uniting the party. You know, we've got a country to look after. We've got people who are struggling to put food on the table and are worried about turning their heating on this winter. And we've got, you know, a war in Europe, and we've got numerous crises, not least, you know, the challenges of resolving the issues over the protocol. And, you know, the reality is we've got no idea where he stands on the majority of this. And instead,
do we
it's
not,
all
though,
about them.
You know, on that point, because there was, you know, a very long leadership campaign during which there are many leadership debates, many speeches. He went around the country, talked at length about his vision for what he'd do for the country. So you do have a good idea as to what direction he might go. Maybe not on the very most recent challenges facing the country, but you have a good idea.
Well, I'd say look at his records. I mean, the reality is, he as Chancellor, he failed to grow the economy. He failed to get a grip on inflation, and he failed to help families with the Tories' cost of living crisis. Again, the Conservatives are so riven. You know, you have one minister saying one thing, one saying another. Members of the cabinet who were openly sort of denouncing Rishi Sunak days ago, now suddenly sort of trying to get behind him, you know, to keep their hands on the ministerial red boxes. And, you know, that's an extraordinary situation to be in. And quite frankly, you know, I think the British people have had enough. They want an election, and we want to change a government, a Labour government that's going to provide leadership and stability.
And yet it's reported that Rishi Sunak has this afternoon reassured Tory MPs that there won't be an early election.
Well, it's certainly the view of the people that I've been speaking to on the street in my own communities the last few days. They want an election. They've had enough of this chaos. They've had enough of this changing back and forth. And quite frankly, also, it's doing huge damage to our international reputation. I spend a lot of time speaking to other European governments, speaking to others, dealing with some incredibly serious issues. And they just look at us and they say, what on earth is going on in Britain?
I think the markets have reacted well, though, haven't they? The markets have reacted well to this news.
Well, the markets have been up and down so much because of the chaos that we've seen. As I said, the damage has already been done. The impact on pensions, the impact on the value of the pound, the investment that's being scared away because of the instability. And as I said, look at his own record. He failed to bring inflation under control when he was Chancellor, and he failed to deal with the cost of living and energy crises that are affecting every person up and down the country in Britain at the moment.
The ERG group of arch-Brexiteers, they said this morning that after a meeting with Rishi Sunak, they weren't able to entirely endorse him in the leadership contest. What do you expect will be his approach to the Northern Ireland Protocol? We heard there Theresa Villiers saying that he's very committed to taking the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill through Parliament.
Well, we simply don't really know, and the fights and infighting in the Conservative Party, often more about ideology than what people need, are continuing to destabilise the situation. But we've been very clear as Labour, you know, we think the negotiation is the way forward. We welcome the negotiations that have been taking place in recent days, and those need to happen. You know, unilaterally, you know, pushing forward a law that breaks international law and undermines the ability to get a deal is not the way forward. And that's why we've consistently opposed the bill and will continue to do so. We need to get around the table, get a veterinary agreement, get other measures in place to address the very real concerns there are in all communities about the way that the protocol's been working. But it's negotiation that, you know, that's been the hallmark of Labour throughout history.
Theresa Villiers again saying to Barry Lennon in Westminster that she expected Rishi Sunak would be seeking a negotiated solution. That is something that he has made clear.
Well, I certainly hope that is the case. That's certainly the message that we've made very clear here in Cabin. It's been the message from the committee that I sit on here. We just delivered a report on the impact of Brexit and the protocol. There are ways to deal with the situation if there is the flexibility, if there is the vision, if there is the political leadership. But if we go back to the ideology that's been at the heart of the Conservatives over this issue, then we're not going to find a way forward. And I think the first thing you could do is to commit to those negotiations and to scrap this idea of a bill which breaks international law and undermines everything that we all want to see achieved.
All right, Stephen Doughty of the British Labour Party, thank you very much.